Hello, and welcome to the Ghoulcast. This is a special edition. I'm Mandy.
I am Crystal.
And we're going to talk some shit. Not real shit. We're going to talk about badass women in horror, which is a pretty cool topic in my opinion. So, do you want to start, Crystal, with your first? We made lists.
I was going to say, does that mean I have to put the puzzle away?
We are also putting a puzzle together while we're doing this. So,
yeah. I'll put it away because it's starting to make my eyes hurt. Okay, so I am, 6 years younger than you? So...
Yeah, you fucking age. 6 years
younger. No, I'm just saying, like, I started watching horror movies a lot later anyway. Plus, I'm younger than you. So I started watching in, like, the mid-90s, really. So for me, are we going to go from, like, number one or...
No, I think we're just going to kind of talk about the list. Because, like, there's some... When we made the list, there's stuff that's on my list that would have been on her list, too. And stuff on her list that would have been on mine, too. So we're just going to, you know, talk about the ladies that we... compiled the list of. And then talk about why they're awesome or whatever. You know, feel free to comment what you think or whatever, but... Honestly, our opinions are best, so...
And this is really in no particular order.
No.
So when I made the list, how many did I make? I made 2, 3, 4... I made 5. I had a top 5. And then I brought it to you, and you were like, no, those two would definitely be on mine as well.
Right.
I purposely did not pick some because I knew how much you loved them, and they were already going to be on your list. So I wanted to make sure I kind of had my own... But for me, my number one, and I think it does speak to my age a little bit, my number one was Sydney Prescott from the Scream trilogy. Because that was the first Wes Craven movie that I saw and fell in love with. And, yeah, she was my number one.
See, my number one, and we'll come back to talk about Sydney in a second. My number one shows my age. because mine was Laurie Strode from Halloween, so Jamie Lee Curtis. Just because when I was younger, I thought she was a badass. So
I mean, she was a badass. She is a badass.
She absolutely is a badass. So,
so what was it about Laurie that always stuck with you?
I mean. I feel like she got duped. Like, oh my god, there's this dude and he's chasing me and he's in a mask and it's super scary. And then she's like, oh shit, that's my brother.
I mean, technically that happened with Sydney too.
Right? Oh yeah.
So technically.
So many.
Mind blown.
So many similarities.
There really is.
So let's go back. We'll talk about Sydney. Because I love Sydney in all of the Scream movies.
I loved her because, first of all, she was kind of like the girl next door. She never really, like, showed a lot of skin.
Yeah.
You always kind of wanted to root for her because she was a fighter. She was feisty. She was very smart. It's a 4-movie franchise. I don't count the 4th one because I hated it. Yeah.
That's legit.
Like, I had the trilogy of the box set and everything like that, and I'm like, that's where we stopped. That's where we cut it off.
Off the rails.
Yeah. But I think she kind of spoke, like, that whole trilogy and that whole, like, new age of horror movies kind of spoke to my generation. Like, I'm on the border of Xenial and Millennial. Mm-hmm. So, for me, that was like, okay, horror movies, these are for us now. These aren't my mom's Nightmare on Elm Street that made her so that she couldn't sleep for 2 weeks when she was 16.
Right.
But this is, like, my generation of it, which I really liked because I'm selfish. But to me, it was like that was our music, that was our clothing style. Like, you look back and you look at, like, Rose McGowan's character in the Scream movies and her outfit.
Yeah.
Like, the outfits, the... hairstyles, like everything, which I think every horror movie kind of does too. Like, you look back on the original Nightmare on Elm Street and the perms and everything like that. I get it. Stop playing with puzzles.
I can do the puzzle. I can do this.
But for me, it was because it was the first horror movie also that I ever saw in a theater.
Right.
So that was a big event because I was with my friends, I was with other people. Like, I had seen scary movies before at home, mm-hmm. but this was like the first one for me anyway that I went to a theater to see, and then I went to see the second one, and then I went to see the third one. So, and then I ignored the fourth one.
Shout out to my mom, because the first horror movie I saw was Poltergeist when I was three. So...
Hold on, my phone's going off.
That ruined everything. I wasn't scared of it, necessarily.
Yeah.
But it caused my cousin to have a fear of clowns. So my mom... I love my mom. Let me preface this conversation with... I love my mother. Kathy is a saint.
She is.
She
gave birth to you.
Right? She let us watch Poltergeist when we were three, and then got my cousin Greg and I matching laughing clowns. He was terrified of his. They had to put it up somewhere. But then when he came to our house, he saw mine and started freaking out. So I killed him.
And this was like last week, right?
I mean, it might as well have been.
So you killed your clown.
I did. I beat it against the wall until it stopped laughing. To protect my cousin from the scary clown.
Your older male cousin?
No, he's younger.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. He's six months younger.
He looks older.
Yes.
Because
I've got good genes.
You're wearing sweatpants.
Shut up. Okay, so...
See, my mom didn't like scary movies, so she didn't really like having them. And, like, it wasn't something that we actively sought out.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and stepmom, however, they did. But I remember, like, my friends growing up, we kind of always wanted to like scary movies.
Yeah.
So when Scream came out, we could actually go to the movie theater as teenagers or preteens. And I guess this is kind of showing my age a little bit, too, because I remember going to see Scream, hearing all about, like, Wes Craven and everything like that, and then going to Blockbuster when that was still a thing, and actually looking in the horror movie section
right.
for stuff to get. So, to me, that movie turned me onto horror. You can call me, like, basic bitch all you want, but that's what did it.
Right.
And so, since it was one of the first movies I ever saw, I always identified really, really strongly with Sydney Prescott.
See, for me, like, the first horror I was introduced to, like I said, the first one I saw was Poltergeist. Then it was, like, The Exorcist and The Omen and stuff like that. So, for a long time, I assumed that possession and kids disappearing in closets, like, I assumed that that was an everyday part of life.
What do you mean assumed? It is. It says a lot, though, because, like, I've known you for about, what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
You love the possession movies.
Oh my god, they scare the hell out of me though.
Every time a new possession movie comes out, we go.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, and if you really look at least my first two out of three, it's kind of slashers.
Yeah.
Which I like too, because I kind of like the whole edge of your seat, kind of somebody is out there to get you, always look behind you.
Right.
Kind of thing. So it kind of speaks a lot. Like, but you also picked Laurie as your first one, which was a slasher movie.
Yeah, my second one, I think that my list of women makes sense, like, when I start getting into them, because they're all, like, the kind of chicks that are just like, well, if I'm going to live or die, then it's going to be on my terms kind of thing, like...
And that's kind of how Sydney was, too. I mean, she threw
right.
a TV on a guy's face.
See? Yeah.
I still quote the movie, though, a lot. Like, I always say, I'll be right back. Every time I even say it to my dog, but I mean, it's so funny too, because, okay, so Skeet Ulrich was in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now in 2018, I watch him on Riverdale. I'm like, dang, Skeet, you're hot. Oh wait, you tried to kill your girlfriend,
right?
And you killed her mom.
Gross.
But it's kind of like, I was just talking to my mom about it because we watch Riverdale together, which is like a teenager show, but. Those types of, like, that generation of actors, the Skeet Ulrich and the...
Keep talking.
The Skeet Ulrich and the Luke Perry and everything like that are in the movie theater, or in that show.
Yeah.
But it's, like, even... I saw Skeet Ulrich in, like, an episode of Law & Order SVU, And I was like, Billy Loomis.
Right? You knew he did it.
He totally did. And he tried to catch a killer on SVU. You are the killer.
Right?
I mean, that's how much that movie stuck with me. So.
So, who's number two on your list?
Number two on my list is from a Netflix movie. So, a little bit off the beaten path. But I have Maddie from Hush.
That's such a good movie.
It's such a good movie. Every time I watch it, which I've watched it about 5 or 6 times now, every time I'm like, I wonder how this would have done in theaters.
Right.
Especially now that A Quiet Place came out.
Yeah.
Because the whole movie is so quiet. I mean, there is sounds, but like when we went to see A Quiet Place, that was always in my head. The movie Hush was just like this.
Yeah.
And it was so, so, so good. I wonder how that would have done in theaters.
I think it would have done really well. Because, like, I'm not real big on those, like, oh my God, someone broke into the house and now, you know, they're trying to kill this chick for whatever reason. Like, I've never been, like, a huge fan of those. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really care for the strangers. Like,
yeah.
That kind of, I don't know, just it doesn't do it for me. Because I'm the kind of person that's like, why the fuck are you running up the stairs? Like, or why are you locking yourself in a basement? Now you're stuck there forever. You know what I mean?
Goodbye forever.
So, like, I always catch myself, like, common sense, bitch. Like, don't do that. But that movie, I didn't feel that way at all.
No.
I was just like, no, this seems, like, totally legit to me. Like, I think I would make probably, like, 90% of these decisions, too. You know what I mean? Like,
and, I mean, we're talking about the most badass women. And, like, with Sydney, she was a badass through 3 movies.
Yeah.
Physical, mental, emotional badass. In Hush, Maddie, the actress Kate Siegel, she did such a good job of portraying that mentality of a badass woman.
Right.
Who had to survive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, she was shot in the leg with a crossbow.
Right.
And was like, no, I got this.
Yeah.
Like,
she was like, nope, not today, bitch. Not today, Satan.
No. But, I mean, like, you know, Sydney and Scream, there was a lot of, like, little catchphrases, like, you know what I mean, kind of on the verge of corny. That was something you couldn't do in Hush because there was no dialogue,
right?
But she was still somehow able to portray that character was very strong and very brave and very smart without saying a single thing or having anything really on this. I mean, they were instant messaging, but that was about it.
I
had her as my, and plus I think a lot of people, with it being a Netflix movie, not a ton of people have seen that still.
Yeah, no, and it's super good. Like, if you haven't watched Hush, like, you absolutely should. It's fantastic.
It's so good. And none of the animals die.
Right? Because, man, fuck a movie if I go see it and the dog dies in the first 10 minutes.
She had a cat. But, yeah, she was just like, no, the cat's good.
So, my next one.
You may have to do a couple, because you have more on your list than I do, I think. Unless I do the other side.
You have some on the other side.
Okay.
So, my next one is Selena from 28 Days Later, who was played by Naomi Harris. So my favorite thing about her is that she, it was very much like, it's either you or me, and in her situation, it's always going to be the other person. Like, my favorite scene in the movie is when she first comes across, oh God, what is that kid's name? Ah, the dude who was in the coma. What was his name? Anyway, when she comes across Coma Face,
Coma Face,
she had another dude traveling with her at the time. And, like, there was blood on him, and it was kind of unsure if he'd been cut or bit or whatever, but she was worried about him getting infected, and he's, like, begging her, like, no, like, I'm okay. And she just, like, hacks into him and kills him, and I'm like, girl, I can relate. I can relate all day long. There's, like, a sidebar conversation going on. I am 80% sure that it's about sports.
Sports.
God, you guys are dumb.
Says the woman who couldn't remember Coma Face's name.
Whatever, you don't remember his name either.
Oh, I know.
What was his name, Chris?
In 28 Days Later, who was Coma Face?
Scarecrow?
Yeah.
Oh, Cillian Murphy.
No, what was his name in the movie?
I don't know. I just remember his dreamy eyes.
Son of a bitch. Anyway.
And that he's in Peaky Blinders now, and I see his butt a lot.
Spoiler alert, he woke up 28 days later after the ship.
Wasn't he a sheriff?
No, that's Rick Grimes.
Get out.
Go away and send me more sports updates, please.
This is why Chris doesn't get to be on our podcast.
And Danger does.
Oh, yeah, Danger does for sure.
But no, I know who you're talking about. It's Cillian Murphy. I don't remember his character's name.
Bill, Tom, Timmy, I don't fucking know.
Is it anyway. Cillian or Cillian? Whatever, all I know is he's really cute.
That dude.
Yeah.
But Selena was a badass, though.
She was. She was
like, I will chop your face off. Like, I don't care. Whatever.
And she didn't have the time to explain anything, either.
No, no.
That was the thing. She's like, no, there's no time for that. This, yeah. You don't get to argue. This how it be.
Yeah. And I really loved it. Like, I always tell people that when the zombie apocalypse happens, and notice, I didn't say if, which is when. It's a matter of time. But, like, if, when zombies attack and when aliens attack, like, I don't care. Whatever I have to do to survive and, like, keep the people with me alive, as long as they are not infected, and the dog, because, seriously. But, like, if I have to kill somebody so that we can survive, like, I feel like I'm kind of okay with that.
I am totally okay with that.
Right? And that's why Selena was kind of my hero, because she was like, nah, dog, like, you're out.
Yeah. I liked it. She was very blunt. She was very... She didn't beat around the bush with anything. And that was a very good attribute that she had.
A homeboy could have had a paper cut, and she would have just killed him. But I'm like, nope, we're not going to chance this. Not today. And I loved it. It made me laugh.
I wish he would have been naked more. So, you were just talking about when the zombie apocalypse happens. My last two movies were... Or my last two badass women in horror were... slasher flicks. My next one, am I good to go to my next one?
Okay. All right, you're good.
So my next one, I still think is one of my top five scariest movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I still, like, Scream didn't scare me. Hush didn't scare me. The skeletons key scared me. Because that ish is real.
Right?
Yes, I know killers are real. I know serial killers are real. I know viruses are real. But the skeleton key, that is actually real juju
right.
That happens. And so Caroline Ellis, who was portrayed by Kate Hudson in the skeleton key, I thought she was pretty much a badass too.
Yeah.
I mean, she went against her employer's wishes and rules and everything to find out the truth. And she paid the ultimate price for it. Spoiler alert. I won't say how. But, I mean, she was just like, no, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out what's going on in this crazy house with these crazy people. So it's a supernatural horror film set in Louisiana. I know, Mandy, you're really into, like, the voodoo and that kind of stuff. But I know that it was a good movie to me because she came in and... She is a stark contrast. Her character, Caroline, is a stark contrast to the antagonist in the movie.
Right.
Which I'm like, okay, how did that even come about? Why would you even bring somebody into your world that is so different from you, but then at the end you kind of find out why.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love that movie. I loved how she was physically fearless in the one scene in the rain.
Yeah.
With the roof and the wheelchair. I mean, she was willing to go balls to the wall to make everything around her right. And I love that.
Yeah, you know what? That movie, like, it doesn't get, like, great reviews.
No.
But it's a fucking great movie. Like, if you can just sit down and watch it.
The other actors in the movie are fantastic, I think.
Yeah.
The cinematography in it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yep.
And then there's just the story behind it. I mean, that the when they start playing that music.
Yeah. Spooky.
No!
Yeah.
What was it? Father? Papa? I don't know, but I don't like it.
I can't remember it now, but yeah. You know,
I don't like it. It's Papa something.
Yeah. It's scary.
Oh, it is so creepy. And I mean, no offense to any type of religion or everything, but man, that gives you the creeps.
It does.
Oh man. So
you're just like, oh my god, this is how I die.
And it definitely is one of Kate Hudson's, like, I think, lesser respected roles.
Yeah.
Probably because it is a horror movie, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's the only one she's done.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I mean there might be other, like, suspense.
Yeah, kind of stuff, and she's done, like, the rom-coms and everything, which she's great in. I totally understand that, but, man, the Skeleton Key creeped me out. She was so badass in it. You wanted to root for her, and I think at the bottom line for me is, like, just with Maddie and Hush and Sydney and Scream, you want to root for that girl.
Yeah.
So bad. Like, you just hope that this time she's not stupid and she makes it and...
Right.
Her friends don't, you know, bail on her and everything like that. And then at the end of the movie, you're just like, you're gasping because you can't believe that's how it ended. Yeah. And it's so good.
That was super good. So my next one, when you talk about, you know, the badass and fight until the end.
Oh.
Ellen Ripley.
Ellen Ripley.
From Alien. Aliens. The Alien franchise.
Yeah.
Everything about her was fantastic. And I remember watching Alien, like, when I was little. That was another horror movie that my awesome mother, Kathy, introduced me to. And I was like, what?
What are you doing?
What is on their face?
I think I was so scarred by that movie that I blocked so many things out about it, except for one scene. And then I tried to explain it to you and your husband, Chris, and I'm just like, you guys were like, what are you talking about?
Oh, God, like, I can't. And I mean...
But she's so badass in that
movie.
She
is, like... She tells it, get away from her, you bitch. Like,
I thought it was stay away from her, you bitch.
Oh, no, I think it is, yeah.
P.S., that is a full convo from Scream 2.
Oh.
The one we just had.
Full circle.
When Randy's in his film studies class.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're talking about sequels.
What? This just means he's gonna murder us tonight in our sleep.
He lived a few days.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
You talk about Ripley.
Yeah, no, Ripley was a badass. Like, she was a hurt. Do you know what that doesn't go there?
We're still doing a puzzle.
Trying to multitask. This puzzle's not gonna put itself together. Yeah, like, just think about it, man. Like, you know, she thinks she's in the clear after the first movie, and then she's not in the clear.
No. Spoiler.
She's not in the clear in any of the movies. And, I mean, at what point are you like, you know what, I fucking retire. Like, I'm done. Well, it's probably the one where, spoiler alert, like, there's some kind of weird cyborg thing or whatever it is. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them in forever, so, I mean, yeah. Like, I think the last one she's in, like, her and thing, like, bursts out of her chest, mm-hmm. and they fall into, like, this vat of, lava or molten metal or what the fuck it is, but
she comes out, like,
point,
the Terminator.
At that point, she was like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm finished. I'm done with this. Guys, kill your own alien from now on. These bitches are terrible.
Is that why you named that dog Ripley? Because she kind of looked like an alien?
She kind of looked like an alien, and she was super bitey.
She kind of was.
She was so chompy.
Chomp. She looked like a Ripley, though.
Yeah.
She looked like a little fighter. Like, you underestimated her, and then she proved you wrong.
Right? Like, I was calling her street rat. I had no respect.
No.
And
she proved you wrong.
She was like, look how awesome I am. I'm like, oh, yeah. Bitch, you're a Ripley.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to name somebody, even a pet, after a badass woman of horror, Ripley's a good one to go with.
It absolutely is.
So I got to turn your paper over, because you stole my last page to write your notes. I've only got two more, and you've got three more.
I mean, we can share, whatever, it's fine.
I'm, like, sharing with you.
Bitch.
So, my next one, I believe I watched with you. It may have been the only one, no, it's not the only one on my list that I watched with you for the first time. You actually convinced me to watch this movie. I wasn't into it at first. I tried watching it on my own, and I wasn't into it, and then you told me to give it a try here, and I did.
And then you loved it because I'm always right.
Yeah, some part of that is true. How do you pronounce her name, though? Because that was the biggest thing with
Thomason.
The movie. Thomason from The Witch. That was my...
Right, Chris? Thomason or Thomason? Thomason.
Thomason from The Witch?
Producer Chris Riegler is no help to us today.
Well, that was kind of my thing with the movie was, as it was hard to understand them talking.
It was, like...
Even with closed caption on, which I usually have closed caption on anyway because I'm always snacking. I need to hear it over the sound of the chips.
What it reminded me of, because I love that movie. I love The Witch.
Yes.
I
love the movie.
So good.
Once I watched it, I was like, holy crap, this is good.
Right? It's definitely, it's one of my favorites. But my God, I'm working on my master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Nerd alert!
And, like, I had to read all of this, like, you know, coming to America for the first time, like, fucking 15th century, like, diaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And those are written how that movie, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's dead on.
So oh, and I'm...
like, well, at least it's historically accurate, because I have no idea what the fuck they're saying.
And as an American history minor in college, I was just like, what the hell?
Right?
What?! Thankfully, we translated all this nonsense.
Right.
Because I may have had to have watched it twice to really grasp everything.
Right. Danger just came to check on us.
He did.
But no, like, it's so good because she's got those shitty little twins.
Oh, like, the little twins.
They were the worst. I would have pushed them out in the woods and been like, fare for yourselves, brats, bye.
Right? Like, that's not the one that you... They're such dicks!
They were the worst!
Speaking of, I went to the beach on Tuesday, and there's nobody there, because it's during the week and everything like that. And there were these little kids, like, I don't know, like, maybe 20 yards away from us, and they were chasing the seagulls. On the beach, which I'm like, bro, like, that's so rude.
Right.
Like, I understand they're beach chickens. They're kind of gross.
I call them sea rats.
I call them beach chickens. But, like, there's these two little kids, like, chasing after them, and they remind me of the twins from that movie, taunting Black Phillip. And I'm like, there's going to be 20 seagulls that drag you guys into the Lake Huron, and you're just going to drown.
Like, that's just how you go.
Like, when you taunt animals like that.
That's what happens.
But
witches, a witch is eating you. They're going to carry you off to their sea witch, and she's going to eat you.
It's a lake, Mandy.
It's
an inland lake. By the way, we don't have sharks or anything here.
You don't know.
I do know. I've been there way more than you have.
Nerd alert, bull sharks have been found as far up in Mississippi as Lake Illinois.
We are north of Illinois, by the way.
I mean, it could still happen, bitch. Whatever.
Anyway, we're going to go with Thomason.
Yeah.
As her name. If we're wrong, shove it.
Right,
so,
you're not the boss of us, you don't know.
Like, I mean, I kind of liked her because she really was the black sheep, no pun intended, of the family. It was already a hard life that they were living. Their crops were failing. They were four children deep. It was her, the twins, and then Samuel. It was, you know, 17th century New England. It was already a tough, tough life that they were living. Then all this nonsense happens, and her little brother goes missing. She was supposed to be watching him.
They were five deep because in the beginning the baby goes and then they're four deep.
Yeah. Way too many, obviously. Like, you should have stopped before those little dickhead twins came around.
Right. They should have sold the twins. Somebody would have bought them.
No, no kidding. Maybe then your crops would have been okay.
Right.
So she's blamed for everything. Which I think a lot of people can relate to, being the black sheep of your family, being blamed for everything that goes wrong. And she had to pretty much say, like, no, F you guys. Like, that's not how it's going to go down. And she comes out, in my opinion, she comes out on top.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
I mean...
And she's cute.
She had to sell her soul to the devil or whatever, but I mean...
Better than being with those twins.
Shit, he offered her butter. I'm in.
Butter.
I don't know anybody else, but butter is delicious.
Irish butter?
Right. Any kind of butter. Girl, I'll take it.
Is there butter in that popcorn, Chris?
Leave me alone. I'm just living my delicious life.
Ugh. Anyway, we've gone to the movies together. I know you get oceans of butter on your popcorn.
Oceans.
There you go.
So, my next one is Carrie White, played by Sissy Spacek in the movie Carrie. Plug it up, Crystal. Plug it up. That is the funniest thing to me. And every month, that is the first thing to pop into my head when Shark Week starts.
It is.
Plug it up.
Plug it up.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, to me, again, that movie came out long before I was around.
Oh, it was before I was around, too.
Was it before your husband was around?
Yeah, you're alive in 78.
I was born in 74, so I hope so.
Anyway, I mean, to me, when you see in 2018 Halloween costumes of Carrie still,
right?
That means something. Were you ever Carrie for Halloween?
Iterations of Carrie.
Okay.
But not exactly Carrie. But I always wanted to. But then my mother, Kathy, who introduced me to all things horror and let me start reading Stephen King when I was in second grade.
You could read in second grade?
I could. I was in college.
I don't know if I could read in second grade.
Thanks to my mom's excellent reading choices, I was in a college reading level by the time I was in fifth grade. Way to go, Mom.
I could braid my own hair in fifth grade.
You raised a fucking weirdo, but at least I was really smart.
Was really smart.
Yeah,
what happened?
I'm old.
But no, like, that's so iconic.
Right? Like, I love it, because, I mean, I could relate. Like, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I didn't have telekinesis or whatever, although in my heart of hearts, I wish that I did, because I would just fucking ruin people all day long, but... boobs, put them away.
I mean, as we're talking about dirty pillows, why not?
So,
am I wrong?
But I was the weird kid at school. No one ever picked on me, though, because I'm an asshole. Like,
right.
So, I mean, I never had that problem. Like, no one bullied me or anything like that. But, like, I was the weird kid. And I was fine with that. But at the same time, like, she finally took control, and all of those little sons of bitches deserved it.
Right.
Like, I don't feel bad.
They absolutely deserved it, and like I said, I wasn't around when that movie came out, but the message was so good.
Right.
And it's really hard to get a horror movie that has a good message at the same time.
Right.
And I think that one kind of did it. Like, don't bully and don't be a dick.
Right. Like,
and then the remake came out just as bullying was getting worse.
Right.
And I think it was kind of like, seriously, if you bully people, this will happen.
Yeah, like, you'll die. Oh my god, the guy's name in 28 Days Later is Jim.
What?
I don't know why, it just popped in my head.
Alright then.
Just so that everyone listening knows, his name is Jim. Anyway, so Carrie.
To me, he's still Tommy Shelby, but okay.
Anyway, Carrie's fantastic, and I love her. And
I do love her.
I would have been her best friend, but she probably set me on fire, too, because I'm kind of a dick.
Yeah. I mean, unless you were more of a protector, which I feel like you would have been.
Yeah, probably. I used to always bully the bullies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who do you have next? It's right there.
I'm down to my last one. You've got three more. Because, again, we kind of shared some, I think, at least...
I know the next one we shared for
the sure. Next one we absolutely shared, and I think we both shared Lori from Halloween.
Yeah.
But anyway, my last one that was just strictly, I don't want to say strictly for me because I think you liked her too.
Oh yeah, no, we definitely shared.
I'm gonna probably slaughter her name, but it's Angela Vidal.
Yes.
Who is the main character in Rec.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people who have not seen Rec, the way I explain it to them is Quarantine, but the Spanish version.
Yeah, because Rec actually came out before Quarantine.
Right.
So, yeah, that's accurate.
And it was kind of like, okay, Quarantine, when that came out, I watched it at home, was not crazy impressed by it.
I watched it, like, way after it came out.
Yeah, mine was a while after. But I remember seeing, like, okay, I can understand how Americans can be freaked out by this.
Yeah.
It's a very terrifying thing to be, you know, engaged in biological warfare.
Right.
Especially in the early 2000s. But this one, Rec for me, being the Spanish version, knowing what terrifies them. being Mandy's right. favorite, Demonic Possession.
Oh, God, yes.
It spoke... okay. We might need to change the chair over here.
It's my favorite, though.
But, I mean, for me, that was so much more terrifying.
Right, yeah.
Demonic no, Possession in Spain. Was it in Barcelona?
I don't think.
I want to say it was in... Or Madrid. One of the two.
It was definitely a major...
I want to say it was either Barcelona or Madrid.
Yeah.
But, and I think, too, when we watched it, we were still in school.
Oh, yeah.
As
still in college.
Journalism majors.
Yes! Yes!
So for us, it was like, is this what it's going to be like out on the field? Oh, my gosh!
You know what? Being a breaking news reporter, I'll tell you right now.
That's what she, well,
any fucking time I heard, like, civil, civil unrest on any kind of fucking call, I was like, I'm not going. I know what that means. That means there's zombies.
Right.
Zombies or something bad is happening, and it's some kind of shit that I don't want to partake in.
And you know as well as I do that, okay, it started out with her just doing a cute little piece about the firefighters and what
right?
they go through and, you know, their daily routines and everything. Like, very nice. It was a nice story.
Right.
And then, kabow.
And then, next thing you know, some shit's going south, people are eating each other, it's some shit, and that's what we learned.
And it hits at that core value that a lot of people in Spain and other parts of Europe have, with the religious ties.
Yeah, because it's interesting when you see, like, in Spain, this works really well because of that. Like,
right. We've watched a couple movies about that.
Right. Like, that demonic, you know, aspect of it from their standpoint, mm-hmm. that's what's terrifying to them.
Right.
For it to work here, it had to be chemical. It had to be...
Right.
We're not as deeply... I mean, and I'm not saying that... Because ain't nobody trying to debate religion.
Right.
Because I don't care. But it's definitely... You can see, like... We're not as deeply connected, I think, in that faith in the same way that they are.
I don't think as a whole we are.
No.
No.
Whereas, like...
But to me, they're both equally terrifying.
Right. I feel like the demonic possession one, which is funny because, you know, like I said, I'm agnostic. I don't, you know. But, man, demonic possession freaks me out. I think it's more the psychological thing that happens when you actually... study cases of demonic possession. Like, people are in it to win it with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, they really believe that there is an entity in their body that is controlling them, and that is just fascinating
and that's
terrifying to me.
Going back to Caroline Ellis and the Skeleton Key,
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing. It's a religion.
Yep.
It is deeply rooted faith that is being attacked.
Yep.
And I think that was so horrifying to me.
Yeah.
I know with Wreck... as well, there's been a couple sequels we weren't fans of.
Oh, God.
Was it four?
Shit. I didn't like... I think there's four total.
Yeah. It was three or four that we were like, no. We kind of gave two a pass.
Two was good.
Yeah.
Three was shit. Like, it was... I was furious. There's only a handful of movies that have actually made me angry, and that was one of them. That pissed me off. And then the fourth one, I was just kind of like, I'm still so mad about the third one. And it wasn't good. Like, I feel like there was so much they could have done with it.
Right.
That they didn't do, so I was just not into it.
Yeah, I just remember watching it years ago, before you were married.
I know, right?
Ew. We were still in college, and like the whole, like I said, Angela... We haven't really touched on her as much as the whole movie, but she went... The reason I picked her as a badass... I mean, I already love the movie, but the reason I picked her as a badass is because she went from being a green reporter who was just doing happy-go-lucky stories...
Right, yeah.
...to being thrown in a national issue,
yep.
which we kind of saw ourselves being a part of as bright-eyed journalism students with the world ahead of them. Lies.
Right.
And I did, like, the way she was just such a badass about everything, and it's a point of view movie, so she's talking to the camera and her cameraman the entire time.
Yeah.
But that scene where they go upstairs and that little boy.
Yeah.
The way my bedroom was set up at the time, when I finally left the apartment we watched it at and we went back to my home, the way my bed was set up, I could look into the hallway and see one of those little... Which, living in that house for 20 years, we never opened, but I'm like, this is going to be the day.
It is.
This is going to be the day. I hear something up there, and I open it up, and I look around, and there's a demonic little child.
And you're like, oh, everything's great. And you're like, oh, what's that scratching noise? I bet it's a squirrel. I should save it.
Right. No,
it's not.
It actually made me jump.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, like, The Skeleton Key and Hush and really even Scream for the most part never made me jump and scream. And which not every horror movie has to do, obviously, but right.
But I mean, it's a bonus.
Right. But that scene in Rec made me jump and scream.
Yeah.
In like, your apartment.
Like I could watch it right now, and I've seen it, like, dozens of times. I could watch it right now, mm-hmm. and it would still startle the shit out of me.
And side note, when I moved to Pennsylvania that summer of mistakes, the guy that I met and eventually dated down there for a little bit, he was also a horror movie buff, which was great, because I was like, okay, cool, I finally have a friend down here,
right.
And he likes horror movies. And I remember, like, one of our first nights hanging out, he asked me what my favorite horror movie was. And this was summer of 2014. And I was like, oh, you've probably never heard it. It's this movie called Rack. It's Spanish. He's like, oh, I have it. I have it at my house right now. Do you want to go watch it? And I think I texted you that very night. And I was like, so.
Right. Like, I made a friend.
I was like, so I finally made a friend. And he has Rack on DVD. And I think he just sent back approved.
Right. Like that keeper.
Right. So, I mean, I had her as my badass because the subject matter is already so striking and so intense.
Right.
And then for her to be this kind of mousy little reporter to being an absolute fighter.
Right. Like, is she...
She fought multiple infected people. And you gotta remember, this isn't a building. Like, she's not out in the open. She's in a building that is quarantined by the government.
Right, there's, like, nothing
that she's never been in before. So, that's why she made my top five.
I'm into it.
Next!
So, my next one, and probably one of my favorites, because she makes me laugh. And, I mean, she is a bad guy. Like, she's not a bad person. That you watch and you're just like, oh god, I hope she survives. You're like, oh my god, I hope she survives because this is hilarious. Like, I just want to see her kill all.
I know. I'm like, and none of us have really had a bad guy.
No. This.
I mean, maybe Carrie, but I give her a pass.
Right.
But this is the first quote unquote villain.
Carrie is the product of what they made her.
Right.
Whereas Baby Firefly was just fucked up from the start. But I love her.
Like, I do.
Everything about her is funny. Like, my favorite thing in the entire world is when she's like, we like to get fucked up and do fucked up shit. Like, oh my god.
Because you believe her. You believe Sherry Moon with the way she says it. You're like, I got it. Yeah. I get it.
Like, I totally understand. But, yeah, like, I mean, I feel like I always kind of root for the bad guy, just because I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you always do root for the shark, don't you?
Yeah. Like, I just want Jaws to eat all of Amity. I don't know. But, I just love her. Like, House of a Thousand Corpses is a fun movie, right?
Yes.
And...
Like how we called it a fun movie.
Yeah. It's a fun
family Friday night.
Right? Just curl up with the kids and watch some House of a Thousand Corpses. That's totally appropriate.
Yeah.
No, but it's a fun campy movie or whatever. And then when you get into... Oh, that's your foot. I was like, oh, my kid.
My soul.
When you get into Devil's Rejects, it's a different feeling. Right? And I loved her in that, too.
Yeah.
Like, I loved her in both of them. And I'm excited for Three from Hell, because I'm really interested to see kind of like what happens, but
I'm interested to see how the storyline goes.
Right?
But I love Baby Firefly because she didn't feel like a character.
Right. Like
she felt like, which maybe it was the way the movie was filmed, but it felt not so movie-like. It felt more like documentary style.
Right.
Like a home movie almost. Yeah. So I felt like that wasn't a character. That's just who that bitch was.
Right. Like it was fun.
And you did wanted to root for her for all the wrong reasons.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I absolutely love Baby Firefly. Again, a costume that you saw a lot of.
Yeah.
Not too long after that movie came out.
Yep.
And you instantly knew who that girl was trying to, and guys, yep, were trying to be.
I used to have that laugh like down packed. I can't do it anymore. But I used to do like a high pitched laugh,
mm-hmm,
and I would do it to Corey, and he would just freak out. He'd be like, "Stop!"
So we saw Rob Zombie together once.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice there were a couple Baby Fireflies at that show? Because every time I've gone to a Rob Zombie show, I've seen at least two.
I was not paying attention.
And I think that speaks a little bit to the cult mentality of that whole, I guess, a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's about to be. State Boys are coming out for you. So just like Carrie, to me, and not really a whole lot of others on our list so far, but that's something that is culturally well known.
Yeah.
And when you are a badass woman in a horror movie and you make it to pop culture references, you killed it. No pun intended.
I think the next one we actually shared.
Pick her.
You didn't?
I did not.
Maybe it's one after. I don't know. But you can have the next one or the one after, which one do you want?
I'll do the last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs. She's one of my favorites.
I do like her.
She's pretty. I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I always wanted, I don't know, I love, like, true crime stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I was like, oh my god, I should work for the FBI and be like a profiler, blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up being a crime reporter, which is not being a profiler, but still, like, kind of getting in on the action. But there was just something about her, like,
she was stoic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, even if something did shake her up, like, she would just quickly, like, kind of pull herself together. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
She reminds me a little bit of Mariska Hargitay's character in Law and Order.
Yeah.
Olivia Benson.
Yeah.
So, like, she's a badass because she has to be.
Right. Yeah.
Which I like.
I mean, especially coming from, like, a male-dominated, you know, kind of a career or whatever, like, it makes sense. And it's
especially
not, like,
back then.
Pushed. Yeah. Like, it was really good. But I love her.
And I mean, even, you know, not so much like Baby Firefly or Carrie White are well-known costume-wise year-round even.
Right.
But just the whole, hello, Clarice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what
Anthony
I mean?
Anthony Hopkins played it so well.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, but the way he said it about her and the way she took it was badass.
Yeah.
So
like their interactions are just,
and I think
so great.
Really, we haven't talked about the interactions between the badass woman in our movies with the male counterpart,
right?
Until just now,
yeah,
and probably the next one. But I mean, the way you're right, the way they were together, I think spoke volumes.
Right.
And they really played off of each other very well. I mean, Sir Anthony Hopkins can do anything. I mean, he's freaking Odin.
He is amazing.
But the way they were both able to come together and make each other better in that movie, and really, like, for a long time, I thought Anthony Hopkins was one person and, you know, Hannibal Lecter was another. Because
right.
I'm like, that's so good. And she was just like, you had to have a very stoic, stable person to go up against his Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And I think she pulled it off very, 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 very well.
Yeah, no, she played it really well. So you can have the last one.
Here's the thing with the last one. It's kind of going back to the first one. I never watched the very original Nightmare on Elm Street. until after I watched the remake in 2010.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, yes. Are you going to kick me out of your house now?
No, this is another movie that my wonderful mother, Kathy.
I knew of it very, very, very well, because this was a movie that my mom saw when she was 16. And she tells me to this day, and she'll tell you, because you're very close friends with my mom, she couldn't sleep for weeks after this movie came out.
Same, because my mom let me watch it, because, you know, mom of the year. Just kidding, Kathy's a saint, she's the best. Anyway, I watched it when I was little. And I was like, I'm never going to sleep again. Like, and then my cousin Misty, we all grew up, like, we were all siblings, mm-hmm. but...
Just like mine.
She was older than me, or is older than me, and her friends would do the rhyme, the nursery rhyme or whatever. Oh, yeah. Freddy's gonna get...
Can we please teach my niece Dahlia that?
No!
Yes!
Okay.
Please, have you heard a three-year-old say that? I mean, she starts preschool next week, so...
I mean, Denisha will never let us be around her again.
But, I mean, that was the thing, I think, too, with that movie, when it went back to the children. It was so much creepier.
Yeah.
And then it just stuck with you until you were a teenager, and then it all came back, and you never escape it.
No, like, you'll never feel... Like, when I was younger, that it really seriously used to freak me out. But, like, as I got older... Like, I could watch it now, and it doesn't really freak me out, but I'm still just like, eh.
And I think, too, like I said, I watched the remake, which some people did not like.
Right.
I think most people did not like the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
I liked it. I didn't have any problem with
it. It was a way for me to go back and say, okay, I really want to watch the original.
Right.
Watch the original Halloween, and watch the original Friday the 13th, all of that stuff. Yeah,
because you're younger, so you're getting... Right.
These were all the movies I wasn't allowed to watch when I was younger. And then when I was able to pick my own movies, I was picking things like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Which, by the way, none of us picked a girl from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Because that movie's fucking terrible.
It really was that good. None of them were really that good.
No.
But that was what I was, you know, kind of a part of. So I watched the 2010 remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street. I can see why it scared so many people at that age. Back then, when horror movies were not as well received, I guess, as they are now.
Right.
And I still, to this day, like, I see some of the scenes in even the new one, and I'm just like, what is going on in that mind of yours? But also, I mean, the whole reason that Freddy was the way he was because of children saying something when it didn't really happen.
Well, it's different. I want to say in the original, he was a pedophile. Chris, original Nightmare on Elm Street, was Freddy a pedophile?
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
But then in the remake,
he wasn't,
right? Or was he?
No, he was a child molester in both.
He was.
Yeah.
He just hit it better probably in the remake.
Shout out to our expert Chris,
our executive producer.
We changed his title like three times since we started. You know,
he's been promoted. But yeah, I mean it's such a touchy subject, which we really, if we look back on the subjects of what we've done so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bullying, alien invasion, virus, you know, those are all real too, but child predator is such a terrifying thing.
Right.
And then to put it into a horror movie, and then have to have this girl be a badass about it, what?
Yep.
So, I mean, she was definitely more of a badass than the parents were.
Oh, God, yeah. Both parents sucked. They're the worst.
Most parents do.
Oh, there's a guy trying to kill you in your sleep. Here, take some sleeping pills. Bye.
Right? You'll be fine.
Figured out. Bye. So, that's what we got. We did
12.
That's legit.
That's pretty legit.
I feel good with it. So if you're listening to this and you'd like to be part of the conversation, I mean, feel free to comment. Do you think our list was shit? Do you agree with our list? Do you have any that you would add that maybe we didn't have? Or maybe you just want to say how hilarious it is to listen to me and Crystal. Because we're funny. And you want to hear more of us. Whatever it may be.
Mandy, take us out
here. Yeah! That's the noise I make when I make selfies. So, yeah, like, just drop a comment. Let us know what you think. Anyway, so this has been the Ghoulcast. I'm Mandy Ringler.
Hold on, I'm Snapchatting.
Bitch.
I'm Crystal.
She's a dick. Anyway, so that's what we do, and this is a Ghoulcast. Bye!
Bye! See you never. I'll be right back.